Good morning. As we are continuing our study on the Book of Romans, we welcome each one. And I want to thank Brother Matt for the past two lessons and the excellent job that he done. I'm sure I made a good pick in him helping me in our study of Romans. For this morning's study, we'll be studying chapter 10. So if you would open your Bible, open to Romans 10, and that's where our study will come from. Let us have a word of prayer before we begin. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessings. We thank you for sending Jesus. We pray as we're going through this period of time that you will comfort each of our members. We pray as we're opening today of our worship service in a special different way, but we pray that everything that we've done as elders and being able to reopen just a little bit of a stint that it's in accordance with your will. As always, we want to pray to you and to ask for your leadership as we get from your words and we do everything in accordance with your will. We pray for those of our number that are elderly. We pray for those that are pregnant to have children, and we pray for our little children. We pray now as we go through this study that it will bring much good to each of us and that we apply the things of Scripture to our life if we haven't already done so. As always, we say we most thank you for Jesus, and this is our prayer in his name. Amen. So let us begin by reading the first 13 verses in Romans 10. It says, "My brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to their knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for forgiveness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say your heart, who will descend into heaven, what is to bring Christ down from heaven, or who will descend into abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth to Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Here in this very first scripture, I believe Paul is saying that he continuously is praying to God with supplications for all those that are in Rome, especially those that he knew. As we remember all the way back at our very first studies, there were people there in Rome that were of his kinsmen. There were one that we believe was his brother, and he knew a lot of them. So they were in his prayers and his desire in his heart that they would be saved. Remember now, he is writing to the churches at Rome, but he is wanting also to make sure that they be saved. So then he goes in with the rest of this study of chapter 10. Paul believes that they have a zeal for God. In other words, they're all zealed up and want to serve God, but were zealous and devoted lets it lead them toward, does it lead them towards God? So this zeal by the Jews, they shut out or obstructed the obedience to which is our new law, the New Testament. This hindered their obedience. And according to Matthew 7:21, it tells us, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. To do the will of God, this is the only way that we are going to make it to heaven. If they read the law of Moses and the prophets correctly, if they had read and understood it correctly, they would have recognized Jesus as the Messiah and would have hailed him with great joy. As then and now, there was a lack of knowledge. And having a lack of knowledge is no excuse when it comes to our salvation. Then verse 3, to be righteous is to be not ignorant of God and his righteousness. God had made for justifying man's righteousness, and it is through Jesus Christ. From the day of Pentecost, righteousness comes through Jesus Christ. Here, there's no doubt they were seeking righteousness, but they were seeking it of their own works and of their own traditions, and they were traditions of men. In Mark 7, verse 7, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. It seems that the Jews here were wanting to bind some of those teachings of man to those Gentiles. Remember, it had been over 400 years between the closing of the Old Testament and Jesus's birth. During that period of time, there were a lot of man-made traditions that they done, such as the synagogue and other things that came under man's made things. So when we follow their own ways of what we think is righteous, what happens? We reject God. In return, what happens? He will reject us. When we reject him and we do our worshiping according to what we want to do instead of God, we're rejecting what he has told us to do. In verse 4, let's think this way about the law, meaning Old Testament. What was his purpose for us? It was a tutor. It was a tutor for us to bring us unto Christ, that now we are justified, how? By faith and obedience. But now that faith has come, we're no longer under the tutor, which is the Old Testament. In Galatians 3:24-25, it says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after the faith is come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. So those who claim to follow the law, yet reject Christ, they're ignorant of the end and the teachings of the old law. In verse 5, when Moses defined the righteousness of the law in Leviticus 18 in verse 5, it tells us, ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. So it is the clear doctrine of the scripture that the obedience of the law to secure justification under the old law must be perfect. Deuteronomy 27:26, it says, cursed be he that conformeth not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people say, amen. Now let's go from the something in the New Testament. Also in Galatians 3:10. For as many as are of the works of the law, meaning the Mosaic law, are under that curse. For if it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. In James 2:10, for so whoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend one point, he is guilty of all. Our legal system demands that type of obedience. We have laws. When we, if we rob a bank, we're guilty of all the law. We will be punished for breaking that law. That was something like the Old Testament law. As long as you broke the law, you broke the whole law. Now in, we're under the new law. If we break the law, we can get receive for forgiveness. None of us is going to earn our way to heaven. We strive to do the best, but we're going to fall short. Our faith in Jesus and our obedience will render to our salvation. Out of the law, honor Jesus, we can become righteous with his law. In verse 6 and 7, Paul here personifies the righteousness by faith and doing righteousness by faith. The Jews expected a Savior who would reign upon this earth, would be a visible king, something like David when he was king. So they wanted if their way for Christ to come back and reign here on earth, then they could believe. In other words, they wanted it my way, not the Lord's way. They wanted it in a particular way that served their purpose. So when Christ died on the cross, they say this proof that he was not the Christ. He died and he's gone to heaven. Wanted to see him rise from the dead, which he did. But also, he did set up his kingdom here on earth, which is the church. We as the church is the Lord's kingdom while we're here on earth. This word of faith received into the heart was preached by those apostles. And it must be received through their preaching that they done. And in verse 9, making this confession with the mouth is a declaration of the world of faith, which is in their heart. We must have the courage to declare our faith in Christ Jesus to everyone. We get that from Matthew 10, 32 and 33. It says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him I will confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before the Father which is in heaven. This is necessary for us to do. It's in the plan of salvation. As for even we must confess that from the rest of our lives. We will say more on this as we now enter into verse 10. Here in verse 10, this verse clearly teaches that one who would come to Christ must believe what he's been taught, basically, and confess Jesus Christ. This alone refutes the idea that faith alone, we must have confession, is a part that brings one into salvation in Christ. Does this teach confession is an act of merit, mean a way that we've earned a way to go to heaven? No way. It does mean it clearly is a part of our salvation, and it involves a confession stated in Matthew 10:32. We can also give Acts 8:37. And I've picked out this particular one on Acts 8:37 for a reason. Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Many of our Bibles today leave verse 37 out. They say, I think the reason is it doesn't meet what they think is necessary for how they teach the plan of salvation. But it is a part of the plan of salvation, verse 37 in Acts 8. We also know in Romans 2, Paul taught of repentance. And then in Romans 6, he taught of baptism. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. All we can find, and we know we are to pray daily. But nowhere, I'm going to say this flat out, there is nowhere do we find what some teach on a sinner's prayer for salvation. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we're not supposed to pray. We're supposed to pray. But the sinner's prayer that's given to us for salvation, I question you to find that in Scripture. But you can find hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. You may ask for more Scripture on repentance and baptism. It is necessary. Luke 13 and verse 3, except you repent, you will perish. Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, repent and be baptized in the name of Christ. There were 3,000 souls that were baptized, and it tells us that they were added to the church daily, those that were being baptized. Acts 3:19, repent. Acts 22:16, Paul's conversion. Now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And in Galatians 26:27, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto even baptized doth also now save us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All of these and there are many more that are a part of the righteousness of faith, the trust in Jesus as our Redeemer. As we've studied, as we go into verse 11 and verse 10, he shows that he means a belief. He means a belief that leads to obedience. So the confession with the mouth must accompany belief in the heart. Faith in the heart gives courage for us to speak up and to act through our faith. Verse 12, the Jews for several centuries was looked to as God's chosen people. Now there is no difference here in the sight of God between a Jew or a Greek. Reason is all of us have sinned and all will now be accepted on the same terms. The same Lord, meaning Jesus Christ, is over all both Jew and Greek. Ephesians 2:16, that he might reconcile both. When he means both, he's meaning the Jews and the Gentiles. Unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So all stand in equal needs of salvation because we have sin and we need salvation. This calling on Jesus involves a whole system on faith and obedience to Christ. Save me, Lord. I'm a sinner. This is what the world wants us to believe here, but there is much more. We all are sinners. But that's not in the plan of salvation. We must recognize that we're sinners, but we just give you the plan of salvation in Scripture. There is much more in following in the faith in Jesus Christ. There is much in Romans that refute much false doctrines. Now let us begin with verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? First Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. But to Israel he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Speaking there to the Jews. There's a lot in, it's a small chapter, but there's a lot in chapter 10. So let us begin with verse 14. If it is needful that they should commit themselves to God in order to have salvation, how can they call on him to be their God unless they do not believe in him? No service can be accepted to him, meaning God, unless it comes from the heart. For they cannot believe till the preaching of Christ Jesus, the word, must be taught. In verse 17, it then came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. Also in Ephesians 4:20 and 21, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Paul is here showing the absolute necessary of preaching to both the Jews and to the Gentiles. That's the means for their salvation. No longer, it was specifically for those Jews, no longer are you that chosen people. Now when everybody has sinned and the preaching is for both you and Gentiles. Likewise here, Paul shows the necessity of himself being a sent of God to preach. He must have the credentials from God, and this was for the original proclaiming of the gospel. From John 16:13-14, says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. So it was absolutely necessary to preach and to know God as the means of salvation. After Jesus' death and his resurrection as the Son of God with power, he ascended to heaven. Then as the apostles tarried in Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit came to them. This message by the apostles they preached throughout the world. Also, Jesus appeared unto Saul, who later was Paul, when on his way to Damascus. He was an eyewitness of Jesus. In Acts 26, verse 16, this is him telling about his conversion. Paul, rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make you thee a minister and a witness both to these things which thou hast seen and of these things in which I will appear unto thee. Some use this passage of scripture to prove that churches are to send preachers to preach now in foreign work. This is a perversion of what is said and destroys the main truth of what is meant. Those who proclaimed the gospel in the apostolic period were endowed with the Holy Spirit and sent of God to make known the terms of salvation. Okay? Don't take me wrong. I'm not saying we are not helped to help men to go preach now. I'm saying it's not what it means here as we studied for the book of Romans. It was talking about those that were endowed in God's word where it got written into the New Testament for us to know is what it's talking about here in this verse of scripture. And from Isaiah 52 and 7, it says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. It is right for churches and individual Christians to help those to go forth to teach the word. But this original teachers, they were sent directly of God. In verse 16, not all that heard believed. In Isaiah's day, also most did not believe. Now in Paul's day, and also most do not believe, and it's still that way today. When the 3,000 souls that we spoke of on the day of Pentecost, they were a minority of the people that were there. Still, most have trouble obeying. In verse 17, there is no belief or knowledge of God or Christ or the Holy Spirit other than what comes through the Word of God. The results of people believing in God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit comes from this divine arrangement. Is that the result from hearing the Word of God, the preaching, to give the knowledge that's in our New Testament? If faith comes by hearing, there is a responsibility of those sent to preach the word of God. On the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, they were in Jerusalem, men out of every nation. They lived in the province of Asia, Africa, Rome, and all of the known world. And the gospel was soon preached among all nations, yet they had not believed in Christ. This seems especially to the Jews that were scattered to all nations. So the question, did Israel not know Jesus and the gospel would be for all, that it would be preached to the Gentiles? If they did not, it was because they had closed their eyes and refused to see the teaching of the Jewish scriptures. I'd like to read to you a few verses of scripture from the book of Acts, chapter 13, beginning with verse 44. It says, on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and contradicting the blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Behold, we turn to the Gentiles, for so the Lord has commanded us. I have sent you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Now, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of God, and as many as had been appointed to the eternal life believed. So this is the fulfillment of the prophecy. Here, the Jews shutting their eyes to the message of salvation, knowing that the Gentiles now listening and believing. In Isaiah 65, verse 1, it says, I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. Here Isaiah speaks of the future things as though they had already happened. So after the preaching here in Acts 13, very important what I'm fixing to say. After the preaching here in Acts 13, they broke their idols. They burnt their books. And they surrendered to the teaching of Christ. Began to walk in a newness of life. When we became Christians, did we burn our books? Or do we still look at some of them? Do we follow after Christ? Do we surrender to our teachings of Christ? In verse 21, the Jews, in the face of a repeated covenants where they were to obey him and be his people, this shows that the Jews had warnings that the Gentiles would come in while they had their advantage. They would be rejected through the unbelief. Thank you very much for listening to me. We will continue on with chapter 11 on Wednesday night. Thank you.